White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello, 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 hello. How are you? Nice to be here. My name is Vinny White. I'm from London, don't you know, but I live here in this fine, beautiful, that's a push, very nice city. And it's always a pleasure to be here from 9 through till 10 on a Sunday. If you drive in this city, by the way, good luck, because the Gardener's closed. I live near the Gardener, which is it looks like someone should be filming an advertisement for a car there today. It's just completely open road, as far as the eye can see. And then there's Lakeshore next to it, which is a parking lot, still. So if you are out and about in the car, good luck with that. Why don't you use one of the fantastic alternatives that's provided by... Oh, sorry, forgot what city I was in. always start with a quick dig and some sarcasm. Gets the crowd on board. 9:09 is the time. You might notice that I'm a little bit huskier than usual. I might be even harder to follow than always because I've got a bit of a cold. And I'm blaming you. Not you, the listener. You, Pei Chen, who's walked in looking like a bag lady.
I am a bag lady. What have you got? I still have a bit of a cold.
Yeah, I think you might have left your bits and bobs on this microphone.
I often try to.
And then it's slowly taking people, fine, upstanding broadcasters like me down.
You know what? I met a listener today at the Word on the Street Festival named Alice, and she came up to me and she said, why do you help Vinny out so much on his show? And I said, you know what? That's a very good question.
Help,
that was nice of
define
her.
Define
huh?
Help me out. Is she saying...
Is that nice of her? I'd like... thanks, Alice. Thank you.
I'm not sure I like Alice. Alice? Who the... Is Alice? I feel with Alice that she has used the wrong term. I think really...
No, I think she was right.
I'm elevating your status as a broadcaster by allowing you to be here on this radio show.
Allowing?
Yeah, I give you that seat and an open platform to extend your show for a few minutes every week, most weeks. How are you anyway?
I should have left you some dumpster diving food. I went back down there and they still had some food that they found today in the garbage.
Well, I'm afraid I didn't listen to your show because I was too busy preparing mine. But I can see from the text messages that you were discussing dumpster diving. Is this mm-hmm. something you've now done?
No, my two guests went. One was a food writer who wrote about it, and so he's gone out only a couple of times. And the other guy's been doing this for about a year, where he kind of knows which places throw out pretty good food, and then he gathers it all and goes to a park and kind of has a little bit of a feast. He, brings stuff to wash off fruit and veg.
Did he use the term freegan?
Freegan is a term, yes. He doesn't identify as a freegan because he's like, I'm not really sure of the whole extent of that, of what that definition is. But I looked online a little bit and it's someone who...
It's not difficult to grasp the concept. It's free food. Is there anything you can find for free?
No, not necessarily free food, but someone online, it was like... someone who rescues discarded food.
Yeah. More complicated. It's free. It's all free.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, hence the term freegan.
But you know what? It's just stuff that is going in the garbage. Would I do it? No, I wouldn't do it. I think you can make yourself sick. I think there's a lot. I'm too squeamish about it. But there is some stuff that is in perfectly good condition that gets thrown out from like bakeries, for example, which is why they tend to find a lot of pastries.
Yeah. I used to do it when I was a student. I used to... Not dumpster dive for food, but I dumpster dive for furniture.
Exactly.
Pretty much everything I sat on was pulled out of a dumpster.
That's disgusting to me. Because think of all, you don't know what's on there. You don't know what kind of bodily fluids.
Yeah, but you don't know what kind of bodily fluids are on it from the couch that you buy from Kijiji. Could have been used for sexy times. You don't know? So what are you saying? That all your life you've always bought first-hand furniture? You must be very rich.
No, I had a hand-me-down in university, but it was like my... former roommate's boyfriend's couch that came from his parents' basement.
That was just fine.
But I felt like I knew, when you know who the germs come from, it feels better.
Yeah, right. Okay, that makes definite sense in a scientific way. It's probably a more semen on that than a film set in California.
I did have a slipcover made.
Oh, feel a bit gross. Anyway, I would have thought, for the interest of quality broadcasting, if you had a freegan on, you would have partaken in some freegan...
I took a bite. I left a little piece on the counter. You probably covered it with your newspapers.
What was
there,
it?
There, I left a little bite.
Oh, it's a pie!
I left a bite for you.
Honestly, if it's not Rob Ford leaving donuts around the place, it's
why don't you eat it? It's a piece of a Trini double.
What does that mean?
This is like made of chickpea flour. It's just like it's like bready dough. I took a little bite of it and
hey,
I left the rest.
You've already given me a cold. At what point would you think that I'm about to take from the counter of a radio studio that's been used by various people today, a half-eaten chip of some description that you've already pulled out of a dumpster, then your mouth?
I just thought it was a good idea.
I'll have a little nibble. Oh!
It's dry now because I was left out for an hour.
My lowest moment. Coming up on this show, I want to talk about cell phones and the use of them with children. Let's do a quick bit on Miley Cyrus because you're a woman, so I'll talk about that first. Get that out of the way. Everyone's talking about it. I always feel in a difficult position when Miley Cyrus does things like dresses up in a golden bikini, puts a foam hand on, and then...
Why? Do you think of her as Hannah Montana?
No, not in that position. I feel difficult from a broadcasting point of view because I feel that even mentioning it is really quite against everything I stand for. But then I'm mentioning it in a way that hopefully raises attention to just how disgusting and wrong it is.
You're giving her the publicity that... she wants.
I know, it's paradoxical, but I feel as if I really can't not mention this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, by the way, Miley Cyrus, who a few weeks ago decided to caress the genitalia of a singer with a foam hand, by the way, Disney star, 20 years old, so that was appropriate. She decided yesterday in Las Vegas, oh sorry, she's 21, by she was wearing a dress that would actually make Madonna and Lady Gaga blush. It was a, how would you describe it, skimpy white fishnet dress?
You know what, it was like she was... If she were on a beach, it wouldn't have been as weird because she was wearing like a mesh cover-up that people might wear at the beach. I don't think that outfit was anything crazy.
I don't know what beaches you go to. You don't think that that was crazy?
You know what?
She didn't even have a bra on, Paige. She just had little covers over her nipples and she had a pair of knickers on that were so far... Wait, let me finish, Paige. Paige, please. You've got to let people finish when they start talking, particularly in the broadcasting world. The thong that she was wearing was wedged so far up her bum you could see it poking out of her nose. Now you can speak and go against me as you always do.
I just feel like between her and what Cher has worn in the past, Madonna, Lady Gaga, it's not so shocking.
She's
not wearing a lot, yeah, but neither do a lot of celebrities when they're out for events or at parties.
She was wearing pretty much a shoelace, and she grabbed her crotch suggestively, and then...
I didn't watch video of it.
Oh, well, let me tell you what happened. She got her tongue out and licked her lips, and then sung into a microphone fashioned to look like a banana. Mm. I mean, at this point, she didn't even have a bra on, pay. Why don't we just cover in KY jelly and get her to perform a sexual act on a horse?
Does it really bother you that much?
Yeah, I think it's disgusting, because young girls are looking up to this icon... and think that it's perfectly acceptable to flaunt their bits and bobs about to become a talent in a world that should, theoretically, rely on some form of talent in singing, shouldn't
it? But she's being rewarded for it.
By idiots like me talking
about
it.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, Vinny White, for being an idiot and giving Miley Cyrus a lot of airtime.
Okay, we should leave it there. When we come back, I'm going to talk about phones. Thanks, Pave, for hopping in. You're right, mate.
Did you eat that piece of food I left you?
No, I didn't. It looks repulsive. I saw your saliva on it.
Just a little cracker.
We get closer every week. Back in a sec.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
20 past 9 is your time. Hello, nice to be here. If you're listening on the podcast, hello. If you're listening on the podcast and you're next to someone on the train, put your hand on their leg. Dare you? You idiot, you're going to get charged. If you want to download the podcast of this show, you can do so at vinnywhite.co.uk because I am Vinny White and I'm from the UK, so it all makes some sort of sense. All the podcasts are up there to be downloaded to your heart's content, or you can just sort of listen live if you like. It's always nice to do. I have got a bit of a cold, I was saying, so sorry if I'm a bit snivelly, and I'm occasionally going to do some horrible noises. I'll try to turn the microphone off when I do. You know that thing that you have to do every now and then that sounds like a horse? I have to do that occasionally. It sounds a bit like this. No, just the whole nose-clearing thing. Sorry, let's not get graphic, but the fact is I feel a little bit peaky, a little bit rough around the edges, but I'll be all right. You can text your sympathy on 71010. It's a live show. Or you can say, shut up, suck it up, pull your socks up, and get on with it, you snivelling Brit. You've just got the man flu. 416-872-1010 if you want to say anything on the telephone as well. And I do mean anything, as long as it's... not incredibly offensive to anyone. I bet you're a Canadian, so we'd never do that. Okay. Oh, this one. Look at that. As soon as I said it, Margaret phoned. I'll see if she's going to be nice. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, Benny. You say you have a cold?
Mm.
Well, why don't you use the English recipe? My husband was English, and it was warm, hot milk with a good shot of rye and into bed and cover yourself up and sweat it out.
Sounds fantastic. Okay, I'll do that. Yep. Anyway, as long as there's some booze involved in it. I was terribly worried you were going to say something boring like ginger.
No. Or you can use a German style, which is my recipe, is hot tea with lemon and honey to taste and a shot of rye.
I can see the theme, and I like it. I'll be doing it tonight. Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, make sure you cover yourself up nice and warm and sweat it out. Put towels underneath you and on top of you, and they'll collect the sweat.
Would you mind coming round and mopping my brow?
I'd love to, but I can't walk.
Oh, bless you. Thanks, Margaret. All the best, darling.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye now. How nice was she? I love people like that. If I could cuddle Margaret, I would. Right, well, let's talk about some other things. There's so much to get through on this show. I'm going to do a prank call later, which I'm very excited about. Loads of stuff. Let's not tell you what's coming up. Let's just truck away. So we're in a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where the telephone has become a pain in the arse. I'm fed up with going to dinner parties and having people ignore me while they mess around on their phones. But it's actually becoming not just antisocial. It can become downright dangerous. It's become apparent this week that there are now more accidents in children's playgrounds than ever before per capita, as a result mainly of people messing around on their phones and not keeping an eye on their kids. This is phenomenal stuff. We've totally changed the way that we're living. As families scramble to keep up with the rapid advancing technology, both Apple and BlackBerry released new touchscreen smartphones this week. Good luck with BlackBerry. God bless them. They never stop trying. And I, as a Canadian company, I hope they do well. But yeah, that's another topic altogether. All right. So, these guys are putting out phones left, right and centre. Children are not the only ones whose screen time has come under scrutiny. British schools, and as you know, Britain is the bastion of all civilization, and we get everything absolutely right. And it's heaven on earth. But no, actually, despite my outrageous sarcasm, I do genuinely believe this was a good idea. They put out a brochure scolding parents for ignoring their children in favour of their smartphones and advise them to switch off the phones before bedtime and chat with their kids or read a story instead. Public health researchers have attributed a rise in playground injuries, as I said, to people pissing around on Facebook instead of looking at their kids. Being at a soccer game is no longer something that parents always pay attention to the soccer. You know, if you go to your son's sports game, there's a very good chance that the mums and dads nowadays are messing around looking at Facebook instead of actually giving the attention to their kids that they need. And I wonder, really, could we say that it's the sort of 21st century version of not showing up at all? Because you might be there, but you're not really looking, are you? A study on parenting in the digital age released in June by the US Center on Media and Human Development at the Northwestern University found that only 3% of parents strongly agreed that smartphones have made parenting easier. And somewhere in the region of 65% said that it's actually made it, they disagreed with that comment strongly. I don't know if that means that it's made it harder. I assume it certainly hasn't made it easier, is what they're saying. Which is unsurprising, really. Parents, it found, spend an hour and 48 minutes a day on their smartphones. Honestly. Nearly 2 hours a day. And that's just talking, texting, looking at pictures of cats, whatever it is you do, whatever it is you get off on. And I was wondering if you wanted to chime up on this. So I was wondering if this is a particularly bad phenomenon here in Toronto. And have you witnessed any bad parenting due to phones? You know, have you seen mums and dads walk off? I saw someone in the supermarket the other day. They were so obsessed with phoning their significant other and talking about what brand of beans they wanted to buy that I noticed that the kid was wandering off. And I thought, I don't want to get involved. It's a bit weird, like a fully grown man, sexy though I am, getting involved with someone else's life. But I had to. I had to say, can I just let you know that your kid is now four aisles away and interfering with a few pots and pans? I think the kid was playing drums, which is cool, but, you know, probably should involve some supervision. And here's another really amazing fact. For the first time since the invention and calculation of sales of the chocolate bar sales are down, and it's attributed to two things. First of all, kids are spending more money, disposable income, on their cell phones, topping them up so they can text their friends and say, oh, isn't Jeff gorgeous, etc. I don't know what kids say. I'm sort of removed from the whole thing. So the money is being spent on topping up their phones and spending it on airtime. But actually, it's not just that. Apparently, now we're living in a world where people are so obsessed with their phones that we're not even noticing the chocolate bars in front of us when we're getting served at our local convenience store because we're too busy on the phone. And I just think it's got to a point where we need to address it. Parents and everyone involved. I mean, I'm to blame as the next man in many respects. I went for a pint the other day, and I'm still reasonably new to this city. I love meeting new people, so I went to a bar I've never been to. I sat at the bar, and in the olden days, and by the olden days, I mean, 10 years ago, I would have struck up a conversation, and I found myself looking at Facebook, looking at the children of a man who I hate from school. I have absolutely no interest in his life whatsoever, and I'm looking at his ugly kids in another country, instead of talking to the person next to me that I could have struck up a perfectly reasonable, new, sound friendship with. And one of the reasons I'm intimidated to talk to these people is because they're on their bloody phone. As if you're a barman, you can't even get the attention of someone to get a drink because they're so immersed in it. So I just wonder, what do we do? 416-872-1010, particularly if you've witnessed some bad parenting as a result of phones. It's unbelievable. And I really don't know what to do. I tell you one thing, though. If there's one genius, a poignant master of language, a great observer, and a fantastic North American comedian that makes the point very well, it's Louis C.K., and he said this about it.
Some parents really struggle with, like, all the other kids have the terrible thing, so my kid has to... Yeah, let your kid go and be a better example to the kids. Just because the other stupid kids have phones doesn't mean that, okay, well, my kid has to be stupid, otherwise she'll feel weird.
Right.
You know, I think these things are toxic. I don't think they, especially for kids. It's just this thing. It's bad. And right. they don't look at people when they talk to them, and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean, and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, you're fat. And then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that.
Right.
But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write you're fat, then they just go, that was fun. I like that.
So, that tasted good.
Yeah, exactly. You need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away.
Yes.
Is the ability to just sit there like this. That's being a person, right?
Yes.
No one can, you got to check. Because, you know, underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that empty, forever empty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Knowledge that it's all for nothing and you're alone. You know, it's down there. And sometimes when things clear away, you're not watching it, you're in your car, and you start going, oh, no, here it comes, that I am alone. Like, it starts to visit on you. You know, just the sadness.
Yes.
Life is tremendously sad just by, you know, being in it. And so you're driving, and then you go, that's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of people driving are texting.
Yes.
And they're killing, everybody's murdering each other with their cars.
Yes.
But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second because it's so hard. I was in my car one time, and a Bruce Springsteen song comes on. And it made me really sad. It's like Jungle. What's the one Jungle song?
Jungle Land.
This one where he goes, hurr! And he sounds far away. You know, it's like,
that's half of them.
Yeah, that's a lot of them.
No, he goes,
yeah, exactly. And he's really far away sounding. Can you do it with the reverb? Can you do it? No, they're not doing it.
They're not trying to.
So.
Like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Except for it was Springsteen. If it was you doing that, I would have been like, what the hell is that in my radio? And it was Springsteen.
I did it just the same as Bruce.
And I heard it, and it gave me kind of like a fall back to school depression feeling. It made me really sad.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'm getting sad. I got to get the phone and write hi to like 50 people. And then, you know, somebody cool writes back, and then somebody not as cool writes after, and I'm like,
you. I'm not going to. I got somebody better.
Louis C.K. on Conan, and he goes on to conclude.
Anyway, I started to get that sad feeling, and I was reaching for the phone, and I said, you know what, don't. Just be sad. Just let the sadness, just stand in the way of it, and let it hit you like a truck. And I let it come, and Bruce, and I just started to feel, oh my God. And I pulled over, and I just cried like a bitch. I cried so much. And it was beautiful. It was like this beautiful. It's just this sadness is poetic. You're lucky to live sad moments. And then I had happy feelings because when you let yourself feel sad,
yes,
your body has like antibodies. It has happiness that comes
rushing in
to meet the sadness. So I was grateful to feel sad, and then I met it with true profound happiness. It was such a trip, you know. And the thing is, because we don't want that first bit of sad,
we
push it away with like a little phone for the food, and you get a little kind of, you never feel completely sad or completely happy.
Right.
You just feel kind of satisfied with your product.
Yes.
And then you die. So that's why I don't want to get a phone from my kids. That's what I'm
Genius, I love him. He's just fantastic. He would be in my, you know, if you were to have like 10 people that you could have dinner with, he would be there along with Ricky Gervais, Eddie Izzard, Billy Connolly, and probably that's enough comedians. It could get a bit raucous. And six brewers, I think. Louis C.K. making a really poignant point. And amongst and underneath all the comedy, he's absolutely right. Life can be crap. And it's very true that when things go even slightly crap now, we pick up a phone. Now, since we're on the subject, there is something that involves the telephone that is even more annoying than everything I've ever mentioned. It's more annoying than seeing aspirational BS from your friends on Facebook bragging about their luxury holiday and the beauty of their girlfriend and how wonderful things are when you know that it really can't possibly be that good. And that, my friend, is the pain in the ass that is this phone call.
Congratulations. You've been selected to receive a free cruise to the Bahamas.
The annoying pain in the backside that is that call. And the other one is, congratulations, this is the captain calling. You've won a cruise. And it happens never when you want it to. Never when you're having an argument with your wife. Never when your kids are driving you insane. Never when you need a distraction. Always when you're right in the middle of the most nail-biting part of Breaking Bad and everyone's being shot. And you think, oh, I better get it. You never know. It could be important. Is it important? No, it's about as important as a piece of fluff in the corner of the room. And it's ruined my moments in life. They're invasive. They're irritating. And it's time we did something about it. So, I have the solution. And the solution is to get your own back.
Thank you for calling. Whom do I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight?
Hello there, this is Vinny White. I'm calling about the cruise.
How are we doing today, Mr. White?
Yeah, I'm grand. I'm really pleased about this, and I'm glad that you got me involved.
Okay, excellent. Can I have your confirmation number, please?
478-674-646.
Okay, you said 478?
478-674.
You said it's not a 9?
Well, maybe it's a 9. I haven't got my glasses on.
Okay, yeah, it's probably a 9, because a 7, that'd be from a long time ago.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get you registered right now. Okay, give me 1 second here.
Sure thing.
Have you ever been on a cruise before?
Not yet, buddy, and I'm so excited I could have an accident in my own pants.
Okay, what do you normally do for vacation?
Well, I'm an Englishman, so usually I just go down to the beach and put a handkerchief on my head, eat fish and chips, and look at women.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, something I've been working on for some time. The good thing about cruises, I would imagine, is there's lots of women in bikinis, is there?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Where will the cruise take me, exactly?
You're going to be going to the Grand Bahama Island now. It's a 2-day, 2-night cruise to the Grand Bahama Island. All your meals, all your entertainment on board will be included.
Mm.
You're going to have 18 months to make your way down to Florida to take the cruise. We're not going to need to know any dates for me today, though, so don't worry.
Happy days.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, there's someone at the door. I'm just going to grab the door. You get started with the process. The name's Vinny White, and I'll be back in 2 seconds. I'm just going to hit the door, okay?
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the automated service for telemarketers. If you're a telemarketer, press 1.
If you're in telemarketing, press 1. I'm sorry, I didn't seem to detect a number that time. Perhaps you could press 1. Is it irritating to have your privacy invaded? Press 1.
All right, I'm here. I'm sorry about that. Vinny? Hello?
Please hold the line while we put you through to someone of more responsibility.
Sir, I'm on the
Hello,
line.
This is Rajiv. Hello there, can I help you?
Okay.
What is it that you're hoping for today?
You guys are so funny. Oh, my God. You almost got me, actually.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
A couple of your texts so far. People texting in on 71010. It is a live show. And people phoning in on 416-872-1010. So a couple of your texts so far. So let's read them out. What does it matter what Miley Cyrus wears? Yeah, you know what? You're right. I almost regret talking about it. Because it's just a load of crap, isn't it? And everyone else is going to be talking about it. I can't believe I went down to that level. I actually regret it. I shouldn't have talked about it. Doesn't matter. She's trying to shock. It succeeds. People like me talk about it only makes it worse. I'm not going to do it again. I hereby refuse to talk about Miley Cyrus from now on. I don't know about Justin Bieber. I quite like it when he does stupid things. At least he doesn't rely intensely on getting as naked as possible without actually revealing genitalia, unlike she does. I think that'll be the next step, though, for her. Just come in with... Oh, she's just naked. Great. Riding a pig. Anyway, so I won't talk about that again. Fair point. You're right, whoever you are. Someone else texted in and said... I saw someone in the park the other day. Shouldn't be funny, but it is. I saw someone in the park the other day actually physically push their child off a swing because they were too busy texting. Shouldn't be funny, but it is. I'm just going to assume they were all right. Yeah. And then there's loads of YouTube clips of people walking into ponds, fountains. There's signs in New York now. Watch where you're going. And a picture of a pedestrian walking around with a phone because so many people are walking in front of traffic. And it shouldn't be funny. It probably isn't that funny, but they're dying, for God's sake, because they're so busy getting the latest Facebook update. I'm a teacher, and you wouldn't believe what I do to try to confiscate the phones. Some of the kids have got two phones, says someone. What are they, drug dealers? Oh, my goodness. So they confiscate a phone, they're still texting. How long is it until it's just... I mean, we've already got Google Glasses, right, where you can look at everything inside your own glasses and look up facts. How long is it until we're just I'm just standing there with my arms out, I'm just texting John with no device, you know? It's essentially telepathy that works, although if it works on any of the Canadian networks, it'll be double the price of everyone else. Well, hey, it was a zinger. All right, so I want to talk about something else. If you want to chip up at any point, you can. I know it's Sunday. Don't feel like you have to get involved in the show. Feel lazy. I've got this for you. Relax. But I do want to talk about another topic, and I'd love to know if anyone knows this guy. This is a really weird story. This was in today's National Post. Hamilton man's body took months to discover. Yeah, a bit dark. Nobody knows why Peter Wald's body, found on Tuesday, was left to decompose for months after he died in his Hamilton home he shared with his wife, 6 children, and 2 other families. It's a lot of people. The remains of Mr. Wald, 51, who had diabetes, were discovered at 29 St. Matthews Avenue by a foreclosure company worker who went in to the home to evict him and his family. Instead, he found in an advanced state of decomposition, said Dr. Jack Stanborough, the regional coroner, he found the dead body. He said he could not estimate when Mr. Wald had died, but it was certainly a long time ago. The body has been autopsied, and we're awaiting the toxicology report to determine when he died, but Dr. Stanborough said he's not terribly optimistic these tests will turn up anything of interest. What is certain is there are no signs of obvious criminality. Good. So why was he still in the house with other people living in it, dead? There wasn't any sort of attempt to conceal the body of Mr. Wald, who was well-liked in the neighbourhood and had a reputation as a spiritual man. Okay, so far, a bit weird. It gets a lot weirder. Natalie Fresco is 35. She lives a few houses away and said she hadn't seen her neighbour for 6 months. But residents noticed the horde of flies buzzing outside the family's second floor window, and they noticed the smell. Okay, well then, isn't that enough to sort of call the police? Whenever anyone asked his wife, who has not been identified, where her husband was, she would reply, quote, "He's in the hands of God now." Okay, because that to me, that does sound like he's dead. So again, why was no one reporting this earlier? I'm thinking maybe they divorced, said Mrs. Fresco. Although this is the woman that lives a couple of doors down, right? Although she thought that was unlikely since they had a very happy marriage and they were, a quote, "a lovely couple," said Mrs. Fresco. So the neighbour's thinking, there's flies outside the window, it stinks, and whenever I ask the wife where the guy is, she said he's in the hands of God now. Okay, so that's not weird enough. Oh, don't worry, it gets weirder. Don't worry. Mrs. Fresco described the wife of the dead man as conservative, wearing baggy shorts below her knees. They're baggy shorts below her knees, they're not shorts, are they? It's probably not the time to be thinking about fashion. Okay. Mrs. Fresco described the wife of the dead man as conservative, wearing baggy shorts below her knees, a short sleeve shirt, glasses, and a purple summer hat. Good. Okay. Slightly irrelevant, but there you go. You've got a visual. The Wald house was always busy, residents said, with people coming and going. So Miss Fresco, who's already, I think, been quite lax in her reporting of the oddities that have been going on, says, "Sometimes I'd come home from work, and I'd see lots of people." She said she often saw people in the backyard of the Wald house, dressed in dark robes, dancing and chanting. Sometimes as often as twice a day. Okay. All right. I know Hamilton can be a bit bizarre, but that's, you've got to smell a rat, pardon the pun, now, haven't you? So in another mystery, police are trying to understand how Mr. Wald's blue Astro van wound up half a block from his house on Friday morning, with its license plates missing and scratches on the right side. So even this is getting weirder and weirder. The vehicle was towed after police responded to a call about an abandoned vehicle, said the police constable for Hamilton Police. Mrs. Fresco, who, by the way, hasn't been exactly helpful so far, said Mr. Wald was proud of his car, which was covered in religious symbols and slogans like, "You must make a choice, heaven or hell." He even carved crosses into the plastic of the headlights, so the symbol of a cross would appear when he drove at night. That's not weird, is it? I remember I used to come home and I'd always see him touching up the words on his van. Now, there's a picture of a van, which I encourage you to look at in today's National Post. It says, "Faith, hope, joy, love, peace and family." It says, "You are precious in his sight." It says, "You must make a choice, heaven or hell." It says, "God loves you." It says, "Satan is doomed." It says, "Jesus said, forgive them, Father. It is finished." It has pictures of crosses all over it. So this is the dead guy's van, right? It goes on. Mrs. Fresco said Mr. Wald was proud of his car, which was covered in religious symbols, as I said. I remember I used to come home and I'd always see him touching up the words. But the religious markings vanished under a coat of blue paint several months after Mr. Wald's disappearance. Mr. Wald, by the way, if you've just tuned in, is the man that was found dead in his house and has been for months. Mrs. Fresco saw the family painting it one night with rollers by flashlight. Wait, why didn't you call the police? They're chanting in the backyard. They're painting the van by flashlight. It's too weird. Now the house is empty. The family is believed to be staying with relatives in the Niagara region, says the Hamilton Spectator. And Mrs. Fresco, who's been nothing but helpful throughout this entire interview, said, "I'm still in shock. I'm freaked out because it happened right beside us. They seemed to be very good, innocent people." Innocent, very good, innocent people, to me. Forgive me if this is my English getting in the way of your English. But that would say to me that they were quite normal. Right, let's just go through this again. His body's in an advanced state of decomposition. There's flies outside the window. His wife said he's in the hands of God now, right? His car, which has crosses carved into the lights, has been repainted by roller at night. There's people in the backyard of the house when he was alive, dressed in dark robes, dancing and chanting. And you say, quote, "They seem like very good, innocent people." I think she's a murderer. It's too weird. I mean, Hamilton's always been bizarre, but that takes it to a whole new level.
Vinny White Show is on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010.
All right. Welcome back. I just got a text. Why can't we see your head? Oh, yeah. On the webcam, I think it focuses on the chair that Pei was sitting in. And because I stand, all you can see is my crotch. Which, had I have known that, I would have popped a couple of socks down there. Because it's terribly unimpressive, the whole affair. So, sorry about that. Every now and then, I'll look down. Hang on, I'll do it now. There you go. Yeah, you'll have to look at that, unfortunately. Terribly disappointing on every possible level. All right, that's the answer to that. A few other texts came in. Thank you for never mentioning Miley Cyrus again. I thought that would be popular. And someone else texted and said, I murdered him. Okay, bit dark, but thanks for the confession. I'll just pass that off to the police. So we're going to do the best worst song titles of all time. We started it last week and I ran out of time. I've been collecting these. Some of you have been texting them in, and you can continue to do so on 71010. There's some absolute peaches, and we'll start with this.
You're the reason our kids are ugly, little darling. Oh, but looks ain't everything, and money ain't everything, but I love you just the same.
You're the reason our kids are so ugly there, from country music singer and songwriter Loretta Lynn, married at 15. And became pregnant soon after. Her marriage was very tumultuous, by the way. He had affairs, and she was headstrong. So their life together inspired her music, You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly. So that's nice. Just one of many masterpieces. At 81 years old, she's still going. God bless her. God bless her. I don't know how the kids feel about that. Now they've grown up. Imagine that. I've got a song written about me. This is it. Yeah.
I've been washed down the sink of your conscience, in the theater of your love, I lost my part.
It's part of his famous Folsom Prison album.
And you say you've got me out of your system. I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart.
From Johnny Cash, of course. Fantastic. He did it for comedy purposes, and he certainly cheered up some people in that prison. Okay, get your tongue out my mouth. Why, I wonder?
Get your feet off my table, get your shoes from under my face, get your hat off my head back, put it on your head, get your coat out of my closet, put it on your back, get your Vernon Husky record starting, it's time for you to pack, get your arms from around me, it ain't no use to try. Get your tongue out of my mouth, cause I'm kissing you goodbye.
Oh, yeah! Country music, always so graphic. Get your tongue out of my mouth, cause I'm kissing you goodbye. Ray Stevens there, expertly and beautifully put that one together. And then, of course, there's this.
If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you.
Yeah! Aaron Wilburn. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. And some of the ones that are texting. I fell in a pile of you and got love all over me. Beautiful. One of my favourites. Dropkick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. It's been all right, hasn't it? Bye.